Previewing the college football weekend, and we will have this out before Arizona and Kansas State play on Friday evening, so you guys are going to get the preview of that game because it's one of the biggest games of the weekend. And honestly, guys, listen, I'm never gonna lie to you, this college football slate this week from a matchups perspective for NFL draft prospects, it's not the best in the world. But we are going to talk about it anyways because it is our job. It is what we love to do. But first, as always, fake Corey Cannon, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. I don't have any plans this weekend, which is like the first time in a really long time. So I'm hoping I can just watch a lot of football for,
you know. So I wanted to bring up real quick, obviously you have Justin Fields above your hat there. Do you think he's going to keep the starting job in Pittsburgh? Like, what is going on there? Because Russ is apparently injured, but how injured is Russ where he isn't playing again this week, but he, in the biggest Russell Wilson thing I've ever seen in my life, was inactive, but still dressed
had his pads on. Yes.
I never want to like hate on someone for being a little bit out there.
Man, but that's corny, dude. Yeah, he's a corny weird, dude. Yeah. Bro.
And I don't even know if it's corny. It might, like, it's just who he is at this point. He is unapologetically weird. And I don't think he like tries it. I just think it's who he is. So that's my thing. Like, I don't think like Drake, for as talented as he is as an artist, is corny as hell.
Yeah.
But I just think Russell Wilson, I think that's who he is. So for me, it's not corny per se. He's just a weirdo, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Anyways.
That's fair.
Let's talk about this college football weekend here real quick before we get too off of the rails. And let's start with Arizona and Kansas State. The 20th ranked Arizona Cardinals up against Kansas State. And Kansas State is favored by 7.5, but Kansas State does not have Tet McMillan. So what do we think is going to happen in this game?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that the spread is that wide, to be honest, because Kansas State barely escaped last week against a middling opponent. And I think this is probably the best team that Arizona's ever fielded, probably in program history, maybe. I'm not going to say I'm well-versed in Arizona's program history, but like,
sure,
this is a pretty loaded Arizona team. So I'm pretty shocked that the spread is that wide this early in the season, when a lot of people picked Arizona to win the Big 12. Like, that's a big spread. But like, yeah, looking at this matchup, it's rough because when you look at Arizona, like, they have a potential first round corner. Kansas State doesn't have a first round potential. Like, do they have a draftable wide receiver? Like, that's the question we have to ask. Arizona has a definite first round wide receiver. Do they have a draftable corner? Does Kansas State have a draftable corner? So like, Arizona has a potential first round left tackle slash guy who projects inside. Does Kansas State have a defensive lineman that like is like, oh, that's going to be a great matchup?
No. So
it's on paper, yeah. Like, it's hard to find something that's like, oh yeah, this is what I'm watching for. Maybe the Kansas State running backs, DJ Giddens, you know, he's drafted a little. Dylan Edwards isn't. But maybe am I watching DJ Giddens? Sure. But like, then I look at Arizona's defensive line. And I'm
yeah,
like,
what are we looking at with Arizona's defense?
They have Justin Flo, who's the Oregon transfer, who feels like he's been playing college football for a really long time. Mm-hmm. He's just a really good athlete, but like at linebacker for them. But like, yeah, so it's just like a weird game where there's just some circling, NFL talent. Yeah.
Yeah, you're kind of just circling McMillan and Fafita, and that's like kind of it for this game. I think Jacob Parrish is on PFN's mock draft simulator. I would be lying to you if I said that I had watched a single second of Kansas State cornerback Jacob Parrish. So we're going to see how talented he really is against arguably the best wide receiver in college football and for the upcoming NFL draft as well. Just quick thoughts on Fafita so far. 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He he's like 5'9", so like, it's just
so
it's
yeah,
just it's too much of an outlier.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna just step up here. We're seeing it still with the miniature quarterback at Carolina, who I have my own Discord. We talk about football all of the time, and they're like, Dalton, is it him? Is it Carolina? And honestly,
it's probably both.
A lot of it is him, man. And I didn't expect him to be an all pro because the limitations were always there with him. He had to play perfect at his given size because he doesn't have this massive arm either. But he has been, independent of his situation, which is also not great in Carolina, he has been horrible. And Noah Fifita has nowhere near the physical talent of Bryce Young. So as fun of a player as he is for Arizona, he can't be an NFL guy, right?
Right. I think that the NFL does a bad job of evaluating quarterbacks in a lot of areas. I think the NFL is dead on in evaluating quarterbacks in terms of body type. I mean, you can even see it with Kyler Murray. Like, Kyler Murray went first overall, and you can win a lot of games with Kyler Murray, but like, a lot of Kyler Murray's plays have to come out of structure. A lot of Kyler Murray's plays have to come, and Kyler Murray also probably runs a 4.4, a high 4.3. Like, Kyler Murray is
out of structure, like, or immediately in structure.
Yeah.
And to the sideline.
Yes. Yeah. So I think,
and like you said, he's got Energizer bunny feet. He's got rockets attached to his feet. He's got arguably the fastest feet that I have ever seen at the quarterback position. So, like, that's what we're dealing with. And even with that, all of that talent and a massive arm as well. Kyler Murray's arm is huge. Mm-hmm. He had all of that. And it's still, I mean, you can get with to the not off field stuff, but like his personality and things like that. And is he a super hard worker tape wise? Like, maybe not. And you weren't going to get that with Bryce Young. You were going to get a professional with Bryce Young, but he just doesn't have it. And somebody like Noah Fifita, as fun as he is to watch at the college level, can't be an NFL talent.
Yeah. Yeah. Dead set there for sure. And he might be smaller than, like, he probably is smaller than Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anybody in this Alabama Wisconsin game that you're really looking at? I mean, Van Dyke against Alabama's defense, like,
maybe.
What are we thinking about him? Because, I mean, like, probably not draftable, but he's, like, in the conversation of being.
So Van Dyke, to me, kind of is in that same mold of, like, who are some of the guys who were once hyped up and then went on? Like, Keaton Slovis. He's like a Keaton Slovis for me. Like, this guy doesn't have NFL tools. Which Keaton Slovis then went to the combine and ran like a 4.5, which was everybody was like, what?
Where did this come from?
Yeah, where did this come from? But like this. He's like that mold of quarterback. Like, oh, this is fine. You can hang around a practice squad. But like,
yeah,
that guy's not even a spot starter. That guy's not a backup quarterback at the NFL level. There, Wisconsin does have a safety / nickel / he overhangs sometimes. Hunter Wohlers is a lot of fun. I don't know if you've watched Hunter Wohlers yet.
No, I haven't yet.
He is a missile. He's a missile. So he'll get downhill in a hurry. He doesn't have a lot of like over the top versatility. At least he didn't on his junior tape that I watched, and the highlights that I've seen posted on the timeline. I'm not going to pretend like I've watched any Wisconsin defensive tape yet, but anything that I've seen on the timeline so far is still him coming downhill or him in the slot, or him overhung. But he's a hard hitter. He's a good football player. He'll fill a gap, and then he can make plays and buzz looks. Hunter Wohlers is potentially a good one to watch, but again, like, what's Alabama's skill position? Their best wide receiver is 17 years old, you know? So like, what do they have skill wise? That's
the tough part with Alabama this year specifically is we just don't really know what we have from them. And then their quarterback, somebody, Jalen Milroe, who were both
couldn't sell me on Jalen Milroe. So, yeah. That's another game that's like, what's worth watching matchup wise? I mean, it's worth watching. Like, and then Alabama obviously has Tyler Booker, who's seen as one of the best guards in the nation, right? But then, like, go look at Wisconsin's defensive line. Keanu Benton's not on it. So, like, that's a tough one, too.
There. Yeah. And then the next game on the list here is Oklahoma State Tulsa. We don't have to talk about that at all. LSU and South Carolina.
Oh, hold on. There is one player on Wisconsin that's worth watching. They've got a corner, Hillman.
Yeah.
So he's worth watching. How does he handle Ryan Williams, who again is a 17-year-old who probably runs a 4.3 already? Like,
yeah,
this kid's ridiculous. Like, we've reached a point in college football right now where like two of the best receivers in the nation, maybe two of the top five receivers in the nation, are both true freshmen and 17, 18 years old.
Yeah.
If we're talking about where the talent disparity is in college football right now, and it's because any upperclassman who is good enough to play in the NFL is left, and any upperclassman who isn't is still getting paid to play football at the college level. Yeah. So, yeah.
And good for them.
And good for them. Yeah, exactly. Good for them. So I do want to keep an eye on Ricardo Hallman versus kind of like Ryan Williams, Jeremy Bernard, maybe something in there. But outside of that, I do like Hunter Waller, a couple guys in that secondary, but that's pretty much it there.
LSU, South Carolina. Can Garrett Nussmeier keep this up?
Man. Yeah.
I'm playing really, really good football right now. Rocket Sanders having a pretty decent year so far. Big, massive, massive back for South Carolina. The way that South Carolina just finds these massive athletes is so much fun.
Like Nick Harbor? Yeah. Year. Yeah.
So those are a couple guys that are worth watching here.
I also they've got a true freshman edge rusher who is like bendy as hell and explosive as hell. So he's got two probably first round offensive tackles going against him there. So like, and this is let's watch Will Campbell and Emory Jones against this true freshman. But like, I'm kind of more interested, like, how is this true freshman going to look against two guys who are probably going to go against these first round tackles? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we still got to wait 2 years, but they also have Tonka Hemingway, who's a graduate now. He's been around for a while. So like, there are some draft prospects on South Carolina, honestly, that it's like, oh, this is kind of surprising to see. And then your guy Juice Wells, obviously.
No, Juice is with Ole Miss now.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Dude, college football is insane.
It is. It is.
It's so hard to keep up. Arkansas State, Michigan's offense is terrible, but
I'm more interested. Can Michigan score some points on Arkansas State?
Like, yeah, there we go. Well, the spread's 23.5 and the total is 47.5. So no, there's not going to be many points is what they're saying. Boston College, Missouri. Not much there for Boston College. Boston College ranked 24th in the nation right now. And we feel like we have nothing to talk about from a prospect perspective in this game.
Yeah, I was going to say from a college football perspective, this could be an upset alert game to watch because, like, is Missouri really the sixth best team in the nation, or are they getting the benefit of the doubt because they returned a bunch of their offensive talent and because they play in the SEC and because they're still undefeated? Like, and they beat Ohio State in a bowl game when Ohio State still had all of their they all played. Started a pretty bad quarterback that game, but a couple pretty bad quarterbacks played in that game. But so this is a game where I'm like, oh, we could, like, from a college football level, not so much.
Yeah. Whenever you're fielding a quarterback who is wearing number 33, you're probably going to lose
game
that
over.
Football game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Oregon and Oregon State. Dylan Gabriel is got to be 37 years old.
Just also doesn't have it, man.
No, thank you.
Okay. Like, if Bo Nix can run that offense and you can't, like, you don't have it, brother.
Yeah.
You know,
you're obviously looking at Evan Stewart, but Oregon State lost a ton of dudes last year. So not a ton to watch from a prospect perspective there.
I just feel bad for that program because, like, them and Washington State get left out to dry. And then because they're not in a P4 conference, their head coach leaves for a team that is, all of their offensive talent leaves for schools that are, and you're left with just like bare bones playing in the Mountain West. Like, that's just a rough program to kind of hang out in right now.
It is. One quick one that I want to talk about. Mario Williams.
At Tulane.
Going off at Tulane right now.
Dude, did you see their freaking redshirt freshman quarterback last week?
No, I did not.
Like
Mensah?
Yes, dude. This kid is like, you need to watch this kid. Not from an, obviously he's not eligible till next year, but like, this dude is probably going to make a ton of money in the transfer portal next year.
Yeah.
I mean, just like from a makeup standpoint, he is your ideal body type. The arm talent is there. The arm strength is there. And like, when you watch his front shoulder and the way he whips the ball, it's like,
dude, and
this guy is a freaking quarterback.
It sucks because like, I mean, we both play NCAA. Like, I want these like mid-major teams to be able to build And like they can get transfers here and there from bigger schools for guys that didn't play, and you're getting some competitiveness from there. But I would love to be able to see a Tulane, a Coastal Carolina, those types of teams built into like that about top 10-ish area. And with it being the P4 now, it's going to be really, really tough. And that's unfortunate.
So there is one school that I think might be able to do that. And that's just because of the absurd amount of money that the university has. And I think that's Liberty, with all of the conservative Christian donors that they have, and like that they can fork out some money. And so, I mean, they bought back Caden Sulcher this year. Caden Sulcher into the transfer portal for one day and then dipped back out and came back. Yep. So like, and I happen to know that he had an agreement with the school, and then Liberty bought him back. So like, yeah, they've got a ridiculous amount of money. So they're the one school who might be able to. But yeah, it's sad because again, you look at Tulane 2 years ago, like Michael Pratt and that team beat USC in a freaking New York Six bowl game. Like that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. But yeah, their quarterback, dude, Mario Williams. I have had my issues with Mario Williams when he was at USC. Like his hands were atrocious.
Yeah.
Atrocious at USC. And I don't know. I haven't watched much of outside of Mensa and what he did last week. Like he almost willed them to victory last week. And then his size, obviously he's listed at 5'9" and 186 pounds. So like Mario Williams came in and I think he was a 5-star at USC. Like he came from Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams as like a highly touted dude. And he just hasn't, I don't think he's lived up to it. Not to say he can't turn it around, but yeah, that's a good matchup going against his old school.
Yeah. So the next game I would like to talk about a little bit here, and you would specifically like to talk about this game, is Notre Dame and Purdue.
Yes.
I wanted to just quickly bring up, I'm kind of surprised Jeremiah Love, the sophomore for Notre Dame, is getting a lot of the play for Notre Dame in that backfield. But man, the couple of touches that I saw from Jadarian Price, the junior, 5'10", 203 is what he's listed at, but he absolutely bullied a couple of guys in that first week, in that week one game. And I'm really surprised to see that he's gotten 12 carries through two games. I feel like he deserves a little bit more touch. And I just wanted to bring that up before we kind of poo-poo all over Riley Leonard.
Hey, I think that's fair.
In the nicest way possible, Riley Leonard is...
Brother.
I mean, we see... And again, it's easy to do because they wore the same helmet for a while, but like at his best, he's Daniel Jones. Like
at his best, yeah.
And an athletic guy who can move, like legitimately can move and can make plays, but it's just not there.
It's not. And a lot of us were like, oh, that's because, you know, he's with Mike Elko and all they do is spam shallow crosses and mesh and he's not given the opportunity to really throw the football down the field. Well, guess what? His offensive coordinator is Mike Denbrock now, who all he wants to do is throw the football down the field. And what do we got here, man? Through two games is nothing.
No.
Nothing. Yeah. So like, which is sad because like, I think he was probably the highest graded transfer quarterback, upperclassman transfer quarterback, probably coming out.
I would imagine.
Like,
I mean, and there's a reason why Notre Dame wanted him,
right?
Because of that, yeah.
And now, I mean, none of these upperclassmen transfer quarterbacks are playing particularly well. I think Will Howard is probably playing the best of all of them, if that tells you how. And he's played two MAC schools.
Well, Cam.
Well, sure, Cam Ward. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, for sure. But none of these guys are like DJU has been awful.
Yeah, I'm really sad about that.
Dylan Gabriel.
I kind of liked his tape a little bit at Oregon State, but he's been atrocious. I mean, we should probably just get benched at this point.
Yeah, I would agree. Dylan Gabriel, like, he's got tons of playmakers around him who are going to make plays of football in their hands, but, like, he's also just not a legitimate NFL prospect in my mind either. So, like, so Cam Ward and Will Howard, but again, Will Howard's played two MAC schools at Ohio State. So, like,
yeah, it's tough to really know. Do you have anything else from that game that you would like to talk about?
Yeah. If my love for Marcus Bowe, the offensive tackle for Purdue, has not shown through yet on this podcast, allow it to now. I think this guy's tremendous. I think he's a top 64 player. I project him more of as a guard, but he is 6'5", 30 or 305. So like he could play tackle. I don't question his athleticism at all. I do question his length a little bit, But this dude's a really smooth mover. Again, he broke his leg week six last year. But that same game against Iowa week six was like some of the most fun tape of all of summer scouting that I saw. Of all of summer scouting, that week six game from Purdue and Iowa was like, this is tremendous. He's absolutely, bare minimum, a top 100 prospect. But again, Purdue beat Indiana State in week one. And yes, he looked really good and dominated his first game back from a broken leg, but he was Indiana State, right? But now he's going against Notre Dame, who has an absolutely loaded defensive line. You know, RJ Oben is a grad transfer who's draft eligible. Howard Cross Jr. is seen as a really good defensive tackle. Riley Mills, again, is absolutely like, Howard, he looks Cross, like Hercules.
Howard Cross is a legit player. Yeah, he's legit player.
Yeah, Riley Mills looks like Hercules. He's pretty stiff, but he looks like Hercules, and he can run through your face. So like, there's legitimate defensive line prospects on this Notre Dame defensive line to watch in matchups. And again, maybe Oben might be the only one who kicks out wide. You might see, I don't think you're going to see Cross out wide again over a right tackle, but you might see Mills out there. So you might see some good reps against some good defensive line.
Yeah, and the only time you might see Cross is if they're running a game up front.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
But even how does he handle that pass off, and how does he anchor in when he's taking a defensive tackle through the chest, you know? Yeah. So and especially on a recently broken leg, like that's all really worth watching, because again, I think this guy is a second round pick. I really do. Yeah. So, but then again, that's through, you know, the first 6 weeks of 2023. How's he going to come back from a broken leg against a legitimate team, you know, like mm-hmm. Notre Dame? If Notre Dame really is legitimate, they just lost to Illinois State, or Northern Illinois. So, like, we'll figure out that. But
I don't know if there's much else to talk about here going down the list. My doppelganger, Cam Rising, is back and is healthy and is throwing touchdowns for Utah. You love to see it. Georgia and Kentucky, I think, is the last game we really need to talk about here. Carson Beck, can he just continue to do his thing? Can they beat Kentucky, who Kentucky already owned one in the SEC? Kentucky has a little bit of talent, and we are going to talk about it because there are two wide receivers mm-hmm. on that football team who are a lot of fun overall. That is Dane Key, and that is your guy who you picked in the last episode. Is it Jamori?
No, it's Berrion Brown.
Wait, no, they have three guys? They have three guys because they also have Jamori Macklin as well.
Yeah. So the issue is, I don't know if you watched their game last week, is Brock Vandegrift, a former five-star quarterback who transferred from Georgia because he could never get on the field at Georgia, was anemic, like absolutely anemic in that game. So they have all this wide receiver talent.
Yeah.
But they're also playing a really, 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 really good defense. So we might not get to see that wide receiver on talent maybe all season, which is really unfortunate because I do think Dane Key and Berrion Brown are ballers. Outside of that, they've got
look at Georgia's secondary is every single year.
Yeah.
Malachi Starks is there. I'm sure that they have a couple of corners. I know I can't think of their names off the top of my head here, but I know for a fact that they exist because they mm-hmm. always exist. Dalen Everett is one I was thinking of earlier, and I couldn't remember his name just now.
And they got a redshirt sophomore, Julian Humphrey, as well on the other side.
Yeah, and redshirt sophomore, so it's tough to really know too much. But they just develop talent at the second level or at the third level. And it's something that I really enjoy watching, that defense, because it is a little bit, I mean, it's a lot like the Alabama defense that we have seen for years, and Nick Saban coaching secondary, and it's a lot of that same thing. Now, what I will say, the difference between Georgia and Alabama in their corners usually has been a little bit more of, you know, bigger, stiffer guys to run that cover three in Georgia than Alabama, where you've seen a lot more fluidity, and then maybe it's just getting better athletes because it was Trayvon Diggs and Pat Surtain and a couple of guys who played at the NFL level. But I think when I look at this, you want to see those wide receivers, even though they're probably not going to get the ball on time or on target, you would like to see them win a couple of reps against some of these super duper 4 and 5 star guys.
Yeah. Speaking of those Georgia corners, they also typically have had atrocious ball skills coming out of the college level.
Yeah.
Tyson Campbell could not find a football at Georgia. Keely Ringo, maybe the worst ball skills I've ever seen in a cornerback. Maybe
Ringo actually surviving in Philadelphia was absolutely shocking to me. Yeah. I could not believe he was on the field, first of all. I could not believe that he was surviving on the field. So kudos to him for kind of figuring it out. And Tyson Campbell, too. Tyson Campbell, a guy who I actually quite liked, but finding the football was very, very tough for him. Yeah. And he was a little bit more of a linear athlete as well. But outside of that, is there anything that you're really looking forward to else in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of Georgia's second-level defenders as well. And again, if they can't throw the football, they're going to run the football. And I think Kentucky's going to be outmatched up front too, so those guys should have a field day. Like Smail Mondon is unbelievably athletic. Like this dude is 6'3", 215, 220, something like that. Like he's built like Jamin Davis, and he's probably as athletic as Jamin Davis with a little more wherewithal at the linebacker position than Jamin Davis. And I just don't think we're going to see a linebacker like Jamin Davis taken in the first round again, because I mean, Quay Walker kind of fits that mold too. And he's not like, I think NFL teams are realizing now that NFL teams are starting to run the football again, that like, if these guys can't fit the runner, they have no idea where their eyes are going. They can't play. They can't play. I think Mondon has like, more to do there.
Yeah. Like I always talk about this when I talk about safety and I talk about linebackers specifically, we've seen Josie Jewell survive at the NFL level running like a 4.8 mm-hmm. at linebacker. And it's because his eyes are quicker than Devin White, who ran a 4.3.
Yeah.
If it takes you a half a second plus to process what information is happening in front of you, and a half a second is not a very long freaking time. And so if you can't process what's going on in front of you, Josie Jewell is going to get to the football before you. Yeah. Doesn't matter how athletic you are. So yes, the athletic guys who struggle to process, you just can't take them on your football team. But that's also the problem with evaluating the linebacker position at college, is that a lot of the assignments are completely different from what you were going to get at the NFL level.
It's like almost all sideline to sideline. It's almost all chase and tackle. Mm-hmm. It's like almost all chase and tackle.
It's tough.
Yeah. But they do have, I want to hit on this guy real fast. And then there's one matchup that I think is probably the best matchup of the game to watch, but I want to hit on Jalen Walker from Georgia as well. Because I think he's one of the most fun players in the country, even though he's in kind of a stout, stumpy body type. He's like a sawed-off shotgun. He's like a sawed-off edge rusher who is probably going to play Sam linebacker at the next level, because he's kind of in that build where you can put him on the field 15, 20 snaps a game where he can set an edge, he can rush off the edge, and he can also backpedal a little bit. But Jalen Walker's a ton of fun. I mean, he's probably 6'1" and 225, like 230. So he's very stubby, but he's a ton of fun. He's explosive off the edge too. And then probably the best matchup to watch, because Georgia probably has three draft eligible interior offensive linemen and Tate Ratledge in Jared Wilson in Dylan Fairchild. And then Kentucky probably has a top three defensive tackle in the nation as well, Deion Walker. And Deion Walker.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Tate Ratledge against Clemson, Clemson has two really good interior defensive linemen as well.
Yeah.
And I thought Tate Ratledge was unbelievable in that game, to the point where like Tate Ratledge might be the best guard in the country. So how does Deion Walker look against Tate Ratledge? How does Tate Ratledge handle Deion Walker's is something that I really want to see as well.
And that is it. That is your college football primer for week 3. The fake Corey Kinnon breaking it all down for you guys, and me just kind of following along with all of it. But that's all we got for you guys. We will come back on Tuesday breaking down what we have seen, because it is college football, guys, and I have this conversation with my wife, who's not a football fan, all of the time. The difference between college football and the NFL draft, which I love and I follow, and I watch guys who I try to project to the NFL level. The difference in play between college football and the NFL is night and day. They are almost completely different sports, and that's why I love college football. I love how ugly it is. I love the pageantry of college football is obviously why a lot of people watch it, but I actually enjoy a lot of the times watching bad football when there are phenomenal players inserted into that chaos. Yeah. It is so much fun for me to watch. I am so happy to be back watching college football on a weekly basis again. And as always, guys, I love you. Goodbye.